This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit TRE.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 10 past five on Talk Radio Europe. It is time for Men Talk, and none of them can hear me, which is fun. Have you got, you should have volumes in front of you. Turn, yeah? Is it that? Oh, how weird. And none of you can hear anything. Oh, that's strange. Okay, take your headphones off then.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really weird. That's really strange. I feel weird without my headphones on. I don't feel like I'm actually on the radio, so I'm going to put mine on. We are in the studio with Simon Hitchcock, Gary Stevens and Matt Jones for Men Talk. If you want to get involved, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
First, Marks and Spencer revamped the Humble Sandwich with its strawberries and cream concoction. And now Tesco has got in on the sweet sarnie craze with a birthday cake sandwich based on the Victoria sponge, although it doesn't come with a candle. Made with brioche-style white bread and packed with full-fat soft cheese, strawberry jam and even multicoloured sugar sprinkles and vanilla frosting, the £3 treat will be available in 1,000 stores in 4 weeks. It's called birthday cake sandwich. What do you reckon?
I saw a picture of it in full colour.
Yeah.
And it looks hideous.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's just going to make your teeth fall out, isn't it?
No, it tastes beautiful, though.
So I bet it does. I think, I have to be honest, I kind of love a gimmick. And I think it's the kind of thing, if you were working, like, in an office in a city or whatever, and you went to somewhere like Marks and Spencer's to get your lunch every day, which a lot of people do, and if it was somebody in your office's birthday, I'd 100% buy that and bring it back to the office, put a candle in it. I think that would be really fun. I wouldn't give it to, like, my husband or my dad, but I would give it to, like, so exactly, a bit of fun.
It'd be interesting on that viewpoint as to where they will actually distribute it. So it will be in big cities, but next to offices, because that makes sense.
Exactly. I think that would be a really fun thing to do. But if it was like a 50th birthday and, you know, you had a big party and it was a big deal and that got plunked in front of you.
It'd be really interesting to see to actually read what's in it.
Sugar.
Sugar. Sugar.
I don't think it's a nutritional.
Don't give it to 2-year-old children.
No, quite. Well, yeah, I mean,
how many will be left on the shelves? That's what.
Well, I mean, birthday cake is full of sugar, isn't it? So, true. I mean, it's not like, it's not supposed to be a healthy whatever. It's a sandwich birthday cake. I don't know. I just thought it would just be a bit fun.
Did you say how much it's going to be? Do we know yet?
£3.
£3.
See,
it's
that's not too bad. Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that you'd buy for yourself for lunch, is it?
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
Well, just the fact that it's called the birthday cake sandwich, if it wasn't your birthday, that would be a bit weird. Yeah,
if your sandwich is legit, so.
Yeah.
Instead of picking up the Mars bar, you pick up that, you see.
Yeah.
Because it's a sandwich. Next
they'll be smashed up for Easter, they'll be smashed up
Cadbury's cream egg sandwiches. Yeah. See, that's that. Oh, no. That'd be really sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, if you've ever avoided walking under a ladder, worn a special pair of socks before a football match, or made a wish on a shooting star, it seems you are not alone. Scientists have found that however irrational such ancient rituals may be, we're far more superstitious than previously thought. Do you have any superstitions?
I personally am not.
No?
No.
Happily sit on number 13 seat on a plane?
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I echo that.
Yeah,
I kind of don't think of anything.
Yeah.
Like, if
That's fine, I'm with you, I've got some.
So I'm wondering on underneath there a ladder.
Yeah.
I've got a black hat. You know, it's just strange. I don't know. I can't think. But then the other day, a feather fell in front of me randomly. So,
and is you that took that as a nice. Well, no, I don't think so, because it's a nice thing, isn't
it? Yes, exactly.
You take it as a nice kind of sign.
In that kind of stuff, yes. But in terms of walking under ladders and
bad luck, and do you like touch wood and stuff? Because I sometimes
Yes, okay, I'll do that.
I do that if I say, oh, I've never broken a bone, for example. Well, I'll go, touch wood.
No, that is something I do.
Yeah.
It's not like a superstitious thing.
I think that is.
You think so?
Yes. I think, I'm sure I've read a survey before. I think touching wood like that is the most common superstition.
And then also as a smoker,
when I was a smoker, like
Taylor Mates,
I used to turn the cigarette up. I used to have a lucky cigarette, which I turned upside
down. I remember doing that.
So I've never heard that because I'm not a smoker. But what
and then
does that
that's
mean?
Your last smoke. That's your last cigarette. It's your lucky cigarette.
Yeah, upside down.
You pack them down and you just turn them on over.
How funny.
Once in my life, I've had one real lucky cigarette.
What does that mean?
It was in the packet already up the wrong way.
That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. I mean, I'm going back a long time ago, like 30 odd years.
Wow, that's cool. So come on, Simon, tell us.
I wear crystals. I don't step on cracks.
Do you not?
No, I touch wood. For some reason. It's really strange. I avoid them.
It's funny.
Black cats is another one. Yeah, if I see a black cat cross, I'm like, oh, that's the day over.
I'm not going to walk under.
I used to work construction and walk under a ladder and come back the same way. And go, oh, damn, I've got to go around the other way.
Oh, really?
Okay, cool.
So, what about flying and things like that?
Yeah.
Are you superstitious with flying?
No, but I wouldn't see it on seat 13. No. Like next flight. Where's 12B?
I remember when I was at school, we used to do a thing with drains. So if you trod on an odd number of drains, one or three, it was bad luck, whereas even was good.
And I think
about that every single time I walk on a drain. But I don't still follow.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll walk on one drain and just kind of smile to myself. Whoop, one drain. You know, I don't actually do it anymore. But I remember it every single time. It's right there in my head.
There's so many of them. That's the problem. It's like, you know, you spill the salt. It's supposed to shove it over your left shoulder or whatever. And there's so many.
Yeah.
Your life is constrained.
Exactly.
I can't remember exactly, but Friday the 13th somehow has been twisted in history into becoming an unlucky day.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I don't know the reason.
I don't know the reason
right.
either, but it's
you
been,
are
yeah.
right, though, definitely.
And do you know what the fear of 30, the number 13 is?
Okay.
The word for it? Triskaidekaphobia.
Of course.
That's a word. I know.
I have asked it as a quiz question before, and I just suddenly thought, "Oh, there's a word for that," and it just came to me: triskaidekaphobia.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's cool.
But in Spain, it's different. In Spain, I think it's Tuesday the 13th that's unlucky, isn't it?
Oh.
So it's a different thing. I always, when I look in my diary, I'll go, oh, Friday the 13th, but then I won't think, oh, I mustn't do anything on that day, or I won't think about it for the rest of the day. And if something goes wrong, I might not even acknowledge, oh, it's because it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but also, what you've just said then is that the Friday the 13th series of films mean nothing in Spain.
Yeah. Complete waste of time. They just don't get it. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, so we all do the touch wood thing then.
Touch wood.
Yeah.
This is talking about how polite British men are. When it comes to interacting with others, most of us might think that women are more polite than men. But a study has found the opposite to be true, for the surprising reason that men tend to use the word mate more often. It was all to do with analysing language, this survey. Mm. And because guys say mate a lot more, it came out as them being more polite.
Cheers, mate. Yeah.
So what, I just wonder, do you use the word mate, or would you use other words, or do you need to be mates before you use that word, or someone you've just met, would you say, oh, nice to meet you, mate?
I can't repeat the word that I use between my friends.
Wow, is it that bad? I thought you were nice. British men are supposed to be polite. Here.
It's a sign of affection. Yeah. But it,
you know what it is.
I'm guessing, yeah.
I got told off when I was an apprentice for using the word mate with somebody, with an older guy, and I've never used it since.
Really?
Yeah. Really had a go at
shame.
Me.
Yeah. Why? Because he said, I'm not your mate.
Blah, blah, blah. How dare you call it? And I was like, okay. So,
I suppose
that was it.
But I remember going back, I must be going back 20 years ago now, and I was on a train going from Birmingham to London, and a woman got on with two suitcases, and she was really struggling.
Mm.
So as a gentleman,
mm-hmm.
I got upset. Can I help you with that? The backlash I got from this woman was disgusting. Just because I'm a woman, do you think I can't lift this bag up myself? I don't need your help. And I was like, what? It actually knocked the wind out of myself.
Yeah, I bet it did.
What I was trying to do was be nice.
Yeah.
And there was a big old heavy suitcase she's trying to move with no one else helping.
That's
but no.
Awful.
And it was, it not.
That's horrible. I remember an ex-boyfriend of mine many years ago, he was holding a door open for someone. We were in a big shopping mall, and there was a woman coming along who had quite a few bags of shopping. So he stood there for quite a while with the door open because he could see her coming in the distance. Yeah. And again, she got there and went mad. Do you not think I'm perfectly capable of opening the door by myself?
That's happened to
me
as well.
And from that moment, he was like, right, I'm never opening the door for a woman again. And it really, it's such a shame.
I've had it where people have... Where I think English people give quite a diplomatic answer sometimes, or sit on the fence with an opinion, and I've been told off for that as well by Finnish people, German people.
Oh, really?
North Europeans, and oh, that's such an English answer. Just be direct. You didn't like it.
Funny.
And I'm like, well, it wasn't bad, but
it was okay.
It was okay. Yeah.
It is true, we are polite, and you notice it here. Because obviously, when you're driving and things like that, we are so polite. We let people go in front of us. We put our,
we have these things called indicators.
Yeah. We thank people when they stop on us.
And they don't do it here.
Going back to this, walking across the zebra crossing, it's instilled in us, isn't it?
Thank you.
Thank
you. Yeah, absolutely.
And they look at you strange.
Totally. And using the word mate is actually used because you don't know the person's name.
There is that.
Okay,
so that's why you use mate. You go, all right, mate. But actually, I can't remember his
name. All right, mate, how are you?
I think it's nice. And what about women? Would you say mate to a woman?
No. Never.
So would there be any kind of, and I will not be offended, I'm not offended by any of these things, so don't worry about speaking your truth. Are there any kind of terms of infection? That's the wrong word. Terms of affection that you'd use instead if you didn't know the woman's name, for example, what would you say? Would you say darling?
I'm a darling person for that.
Okay.
Don't know.
Love, pet, anything like that?
No,
you wouldn't.
No.
You don't know. Because again, some women are really offended by that. Oh, I'm not your darling. I'm not your love. That kind of. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think that's. I like it. I think it's not like it's you're saying a horrible word. It's a nice word. Yeah. So, yeah.
When you go into some of the. There's a cafe near here. I won't mention the name, but it's run by. Londoners, I think.
Yeah.
And they go, all right, my darling. It's like, but it's like, because they don't know you or anything.
Yeah,
but it's like just a phrase.
So how do you feel when women would say that to you then?
I'm not offended by that.
You don't like
that.
All right, darling, not at all, that kind of stuff.
But I think the other way around, you might.
Mm. It's a shame, isn't it? So even if it was someone you knew well,
you still
wouldn't do it.
Oh, we'll see what you mean. No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I think with women, I normally say, hey, you, how are you doing?
Yeah,
it's that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really neutral, actually.
Yeah, it's very neutral.
Get off the face.
A bit more imaginative.
I'm going to start, all right, darling.
It's that wolf whistle.
Yeah. If I get told off, I'll say Hannah said it was okay.
That's what I
said. His mouth.
Thoughts all right in Europe.
Oh, the wolf whistling is an interesting one. Go on, have you ever wolf whistled? You used to work in construction, Simon.
All the time.
Come on. Yeah?
Yeah. And it used to be, oi, oi. And they really freak you out if they said it back. Oi, oi.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I've got to talk to her now.
I've had this discussion with female friends that it's quite depressing when you stop hearing that. And you kind of think, right. Because even though it maybe it embarrassed you when you were younger, depending on how young we're talking, if you're on your own and there's a load of blokes on a construction site and they're all whistling, it can be really embarrassing and uncomfortable. But then once you get to a certain age and it stops happening,
hello, I'll just walk around.
Yeah. Am I not mad now? No one's
whistling. You seem to whistle yourself.
Stop.
That is a great idea. Thanks. I'm so going to do that. Yeah. But it never happens here, does it? That again, is that a British thing? Oh, the wolf whistle? Yeah, I've never heard it here. Yeah.
No. But maybe that's because we don't understand it. Or maybe they're making a different noise. That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've heard anything.
It's obviously a cultural thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break before we move on to the next serious subject.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Simon Hitchcock, Gary Stevens and Matt Jones. So this is an article we talked about last week on Women Talk, but I wanted to get your opinion on Bonnie Blue. So she achieved notoriety and a reported £2 million a month by filming herself having sex with over 1,000 men. She insists that she's a new kind of feminist, but her many critics accuse her of promoting rape culture. There was a Channel 4 documentary, which I haven't seen, but she was standing outside universities saying, "Uni students, bonk me and let me film it." I mean, she was actively going out there asking for this to happen. And yeah, she's made an awful lot of money. Apparently, when it was happening, there were queues of men around the corner who were literally going in, doing the business, being filmed, and then the next one would go in.
She's clearly a looker.
What a strange comment. Yes, she is actually. She's beautiful.
She is stunning.
Well, how do we feel about this?
There would be a queue of men.
How do we reply to this without getting...
She claims she's what?
You can honestly say, no, she's a feminist, because she's sort of saying, you know, she's taking control and it's all at her terms. And,
oh, right.
And her ex-husband and her family, apparently, her parents are kind of managing the situation. They're all, like, involved.
Oh, right.
So what? It's like a... Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's very, very bizarre.
I do actually want to see this. It was on Dispatches, wasn't it, on Channel 4? I haven't seen it yet. But, yeah.
I mean, what would you say if your friend was doing it or if your daughter wanted to?
Check yourself before you rape yourself, basically. Yeah. I think it's... But then what's happened is there's been spin-offs of other ladies wanting to get involved and...
Thinking it's an easy way to make money.
It's clearly because of the money, though.
Doing it from a different challenge, if that makes sense.
The bit I don't get is, okay, you want to do that, fine, that's up to you. We can label it as, I don't know, self-abuse or whatever, but why then try to push yourself as some kind of spokesperson for the empowerment of women?
Yeah, you did what you did,
you made some money, happy for you.
Well, yeah. I suppose she's trying to put a positive spin on it and make herself feel good about it, that it's a really positive thing.
Which is kind of the inverse of...
I mean, there's so many questions, obviously, here, isn't there? I mean, that it's... for want of a better word, it is prostitution. She's selling her body for money.
Yep.
And something I said last week is if you choose to do that, then this and having your... family and ex-husband or whatever in or ex-boyfriend involved kind of controlling the situation is far better than going out on a street and getting in a car with goodness knows who and going somewhere, and you know that's dangerous. There's obviously
Maybe she's superstitious.
Yes.
Okay. She likes to touch a lot of wood.
Very good. Yeah. Wow. That's very good.
There's a slight difference, really, between the two that you've just said, though, between the fact that there's a view that she's a prostitute, or you should maybe not look at it like that. You maybe should look at it that she's a porn star.
Yeah,
because
a businesswoman.
There must be an awful lot of the same type of people who just do that, what she's doing, for big corporations who construct the whole set and everything.
Yeah. Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, so in a way, that's
it's probably
it,
more
the
that.
Label
yeah,
is
you're
that
right.
Rather than a
prostitution. Yeah, it's more yeah. more pornography, I suppose. Yeah. The fact that she's filmed it so
exactly.
other people can
yeah,
see
yeah,
it. Yeah,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah. yeah.
It's worrying, I think,
is,
on
yeah.
so
I
many levels. The fact that people, other girls will, you know, like
exactly.
OnlyFans has taken
well,
off.
Well, now, yeah. because of this, because someone's think, doing oh, a different amazing. Challenge because she's had sex with a thousand
yeah.
men in
right.
that style.
Okay,
yeah.
so
I'm
other
trying to be really careful the way I word this.
But other people
another
are performing
lady said,
different services.
I can
services.
Do a different services
okay.
from different, for different areas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best way of just trying to describe
very
it without
good.
Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
It's well done. We all got, you, got what you meant without you saying it,
yeah.
so it worked perfectly. But yeah, that's the thing. It's the copycats, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's people that go, oh, it's an easy way to make money.
Mm. Because I didn't hear the show, I'm sorry for that, what did the women think of it?
I mean, very similar to what I'm saying. You know, they all said it's not... What would their... one of their first reactions was, what would their... Well, what would their parents think? Their parents
yeah.
were involved. But if she went on to have children,
yes.
what would her children,
children
think
yeah,
growing up
true.
And learning about
that's
what mummy did? And yeah.
The fact that she could, they can view it as well.
Exactly.
Very scary.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe I've got a biased view. I mean, I've worked with a lot of porn stars and... high class.
You need to explain what you do.
I'm a psychotherapist and I run a wellness clinic as well. So mm-hmm. and these people make a lot of money, and then when they come to us, they're extremely ill and mentally broken.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's and often there's a history of trauma in there from before and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are personality disorders going in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, if you're empowered because you made a lot of money and you played a good game, and again, I worked with escorts who have said, I had a 5-year plan and I was going to buy myself a house, my family a house, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, that's good and great for you. But it's when it starts to tip over this far, it's yeah, I don't know. How are you a spokesperson for the empowerment of women?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Or even men.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's a sorry state of affairs as well.
Isn't it?
All
those men queuing around the corner.
Yeah,
exactly.
What
kind of men would have done that?
Yeah.
Well, this is something that came up last week, the kind of men that would be really happy about going down the pub and going, you never guess what I did today. It's just a really funny story over a couple of beers, you know, and when it's talked about in the paper.
I don't know many men that would do that, though.
Well, no, I'd like to think I don't either. But, yeah.
I don't. Just don't know. No. I think that's the circle that are, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm assuming they're younger men, but maybe not.
Don't,
I mean,
because
maybe
none of us. How do you access this? I mean, is it just on OnlyFans? So you have to subscribe. That's how she earns her money. Because just going back to the points that we just discussed of whether the kids will see it in the future.
Yeah.
But once you've done that, and once it's out on the internet.
Well, exactly. It's on the internet.
Even
if the kids don't watch it, because I'm assuming they wouldn't want to watch it, you can Google and find out
kids
and know
are like
what they've
school.
Done. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we know what your mum did.
Exactly, exactly.
Totally.
And a lot of these things, when they get that public, after a period of time, it seems to turn, the public turn against it. So it's kind of sensationalised.
Yeah.
And then often the person involved lives quite a miserable life afterwards because then all the taunts come directly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I always think if you do anything like that, if it's something that you're honestly proud of and you think you'll always be proud of it, you know, there's lots of Page Three girls, for example, that just had their boobs out in photographs and that's all they did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have been interviewed since and they're very proud of their modelling career and there's no shame there and they're all really pleased with what they've done and they never got into dodgy situations, thankfully. Yeah. And it was just part of the time. Part of their career and fine, but then others regret doing it. So it's you really need to think about the kind of person that you are, what your future could look like.
Yeah,
and
I
just can't see that in a few years' time she's going to be proud of it.
Yeah,
that's an interesting perspective which I never thought of before.
Because I imagine there's a lot of regret there.
Yeah,
with a lot of these choices,
it'll probably get covered up with denial and then this, you know, I have to be something else in order to cope with the shame and the guilt
and to justify what I've done.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, we better take another ad break.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Simon Hitchcock, Gary Stevens and Matt Jones. On to something completely different. Car journeys. One in three drivers have had a near miss thanks to children having a meltdown in the back seat or asking the familiar question, are we nearly there yet? A poll found the top distractions for parents include bickering siblings, screaming, and a barrage of questions. And I just remember loving car journeys when I was younger with my parents because we always played games. There was, like, looking at the number plate, trying to make words, like, one word out of the three letters in order, or more like when you've got the letters EFT, you can say elephant fancies Trevor. I don't know. Trying to make three words, you know, trying to make a sentence out of
them. For me, it's like, reminds me, because growing up in Birmingham or Wolverhampton, and then, you know, the summer holidays, we used to go down to Burnham-on-Sea in Somerset, so down the M5, you know. Mum would make, we'd have our little lunches in little Tupperware boxes. And you know, and you're travelling down. I can't read a comic in the car because I'm sick.
Read in the car.
Don't read, Matthew, you're going to make yourself sick. I want to read the Beano.
It's
I'd have very fond memories. Yeah, we used to make stuff up. And
I Spy or Spot the Red Cars or all the... I mean, it's when I learned about capital cities. My dad used to test me on capital cities of all the countries in the world. So from a very young age, I was learning all the different capital cities. Yeah. And that was always done in car journeys and stuff. So, great
now
fun.
So it's not. It's just a screen on the back of the seat or an iPad on the lap. And no wonder they're getting annoyed.
Yeah.
And then they're frustrated because he wants it, she wants, you know. It's and then the arguments in the back seat. So is this is the problem? Is that they're fighting in the back seat? You're turning around to stop them.
Yeah.
And the car's up a hedge.
Yeah. The only things we'd fight about is the music to put on sometimes.
Yes.
what cassette tape
classic
was going
music.
In. Because you'd have different tastes.
Oh, my God.
I remember actually listening to my Walkman. It was Michael Jackson's Bad. And I remember listening to it on loop over and over again. And we were driving through the Pyrenees. And my mum and dad were like, look, Hannah, the mountains. There's snow on the mountains. And I'm just sat there singing along to Liberian Girl, not caring whatsoever. missing all this amazing scenery because I was more into Michael Jackson. But I mean, I think that's I mean, I haven't had the experience of being a parent and with annoying children in the back myself, but trying to engage the kids into games
But going back to what was being said about the screens, I don't want to sound really boring, but neurologically the screens change adults' brains.
Mm.
And it definitely changes kids. So they start getting dopamine spikes on everything, then means they get the trough. So expecting a child that at school is using an iPad and all this tech, and also at home, which seems like a good idea, have your iPad, then you don't disturb me for an hour. But there's this massive dopamine hits. And then, of course, sitting in a car playing I Spy, it's neurologically, they can't even do it. And, you know, we know concentration spans are smaller than they used to be and stuff. So it's like kind of made a rod for her own back in that sense. And then expecting them just sit still.
Yeah.
Like, sit still.
Yeah. And play I Spy like we did.
Stop hitting your brother. Sit in your hands.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, if we all had gadgets when we were growing up, we probably would have been the same. We can't blame the kids.
No.
It's not the kids' fault. That it's just, it's a different generation. I had the Walkman, but if I had access to an iPhone or an iPad, I probably would have been on that.
Definitely.
So, we need to give children a break, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been a playground retort to bullies for generations of children, but it seems sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me may not be true after all. Verbal abuse of children could be as damaging to their mental health in adulthood as physical abuse. Those exposed to such abuse when young were likely to feel disconnected, pessimistic, and emotionally unwell in later life.
True.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
We don't like it as adults, so when kids, we're even more sensitive, aren't we?
And how many, I don't know how many adults I've come across, and kids, who've said, I'd rather have got a whack than all the abuse I got.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's done and it's over, and it's like, it doesn't mean it's any better. Yeah. But yeah, it's been shown to do the same damage to the brain on the temporal lobes and that. Verbal abuse, yeah.
Because you remember words.
Yeah.
And sometimes you never get over them, whether it's from a so-called friend or a parent or whatever, teacher. The amount of authors I've interviewed who have said, my teacher said I'd never amount to anything.
Totally.
I couldn't write. I'd never go to university. All this kind of stuff. And they, you know, you remember it when you're an adult. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it also can be a positive for some people. They'll go, they'll be super brilliant because someone said that.
Yeah, they'll be determined to prove them wrong.
But other people go completely the direction.
I think it depends on how frequent it happens.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know, like if it's playground bullying, that's every day. For what, 11 years possibly, and if it's not if one person starts doing it, the others all start kicking in as well. So and then they're at home and they can't get away from it, go out to the park, if they go out to the park at all. But it's the same thing, so it's like there's no escape and it's consistent.
Kids can be so mean, can't they? And they don't realise the effect of it. It's just easy to get caught up in the moment. If, you know, the popular kids, if they're being mean, it's easy to for kids to get caught up and join in, as opposed to say, don't say that, that's mean.
It takes quite the child to stand up.
I've been thinking about this. When I was at primary school, so I'm going back, I'm 51, so I'm going back 1980, say. There was a guy called Jonathan Webb, and it wasn't his fault, but he smelt. All of us, you know, we can laugh about it, but I can still remember Jonathan Webb now getting upset. I still know his blooming name. I don't know anyone else from primary school, but I remember Jonathan Webb. And it's really weird. And everyone used to do it at school because he did smell.
Yeah.
But it wasn't his fault. And we had to do a school assembly all about it.
He got taken
out of school about hygiene. I still remember that from when a kid.
Gosh.
Poor kid. The character out of Snoopy and Charlie Brown with the flies that have.
But I mean, that's such a because that's the parents, isn't it? That's the parents not making sure that he's washing and all that kind of stuff. So that proves that he didn't come from a good home, which is really sad.
Well, you don't
don't think anything.
No, you don't even think about that.
Not at all. You don't. He just smells.
Totally. Sorry, Johnny. Wherever you are.
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if you remember your name.
Totally.
But it's interesting that you said that, Simon, that a lot of people have said that that they sort of wish they were hit as opposed to all the verbal abuse.
So. And it's amazing. It is amazing what people remember. And I've had it in the therapy room as well, where someone like in their 60s said, you know, we went to a school reunion and I told this girl, do you remember when you did this, this and this? And she said the response was like, no, I don't even know who you are. I can't remember you as a kid. She was like, 40 years this has been sitting with me, you know, like this, what you did, and you tortured me. And she's like, you couldn't even remember who I was.
It's true. And it makes you realise how you can, well, if you can, but sort of reframe it in your own mind and how you have to somehow not let these things affect you. You know, like you said, it's a choice. You can, for your whole life, you can feel like the smelly kid, even though when you grow up and you do wash and wear aftershave and deodorant and whatever else, and you know that you don't smell and you have a girlfriend and everything's fine, in your head, you can still be that smelly kid. Or you can laugh about it. Or, you know what I mean? You can decide to get over it and say, God, that was awful. My parents didn't care enough about me, but I'm a man now and I'm successful and I've got a beautiful wife. And, you know, you can feel empowered by it was the past. But it's easy for some and not for others, isn't it?
Yeah, very true.
Which is where therapists come in.
Keeps you in work, sir.
Exactly. We've got to take the last ad break.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of today's Men Talk with Simon Hitchcock, Gary Stevens and Matt Jones. So the headline for this article reads, why I'm not going on holiday with my husband this summer or ever again. And all my friends feel the same about their Victor Meldrew spouses. So there's advice at the bottom that says 7 tips to save your marriage to a misery guts. And it's really interesting. And I'm assuming maybe in therapy, Simon, right, this might have come up. The idea of being married to someone or being in a relationship with someone. It could be the woman. It's not always going to be the man. But in this article, it's the men. Who's just moaning all the time and seeing the negative in something all the time, and how you're supposed to live and cope with that and go on holiday with someone who's a misery guts.
I guess don't.
Get divorced.
Go for lots of walks by yourself.
But it's an interesting one that must come up.
Yeah, it does come up, and it's... I don't know what to say to it. I mean, there's deeper roots to it. That's the thing. Yeah. If someone's constantly feeling negative, saying negative things, normally there's something going on for them which is deeper.
Yeah.
In terms of they're not happy with their life anyway. Maybe they feel like a failure. Maybe they're resentful. Maybe they feel they didn't get certain opportunities. Maybe they're even envious of their spouse. And, you know, their spouse's kind of success, achievements, general attitude, which might be positive, makes them feel even worse.
Yeah. Wow.
And so they play it even more. But, it's kind of... If you really want to sort it out, you've got to make a mental adjustment. You have to start learning how to reframe things. Because if you start seeing everything negative, what you do is you give yourself a negative bias, and neurologically it does something as well. So it's the same as if you're looking for, a yellow car, and you start seeing yellow cars everywhere. It's the same with the way you think. You know, if everything is a little bit grey and dull, everything starts looking a bit grey and dull, if that's how you want to see the world. So you have to start, if you go to therapy to deal with it, how I deal with it in therapy, it's reframing all the time.
Yeah.
Changing the words you use, changing your outlook. It's where gratitude practice becomes a real thing, because you're actually reframing your day.
Mm.
You're going to be so busy after this, sir.
I am, aren't I? Yeah.
Please leave your number.
Sorry.
But the issue is, you're talking there as if the person who's the grumpy guts is going for help. And what can often happen is they don't think they have a problem. Yeah, problem. They're totally fine. It's the spouse that's saying, cheer up.
And then
up,
we get back
miserable.
To either accept them the way they are and stop moaning about it, and you do your things, or leave.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, this is one of the last piece of advice is decide what you can and can't live with.
Yeah.
And you just need
and
to be
honest.
What
you can do together with.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that if you're miserable with someone who's miserable, if they make you miserable, do you want to feel like that for the next 20, 30 years? And if not, then... Yeah.
Do something about it. There.
Okay.
Relationship sorted.
Don't need you after all.
No, exactly. Yeah.
It does need us three.
The divorce office tomorrow is going to be busy. I made an existential choice.
Holidays used to be about making memories, but for younger generations, they seem to be about making their peers jealous, whatever the cost. Nearly three quarters of Gen Z and millennials admit that capturing social media content is the most important factor in planning a trip, which they will go on even if they cannot afford it.
Well, it's really crazy. So, for example, my mom, there was a young lad, an intern, that worked at my mom's medical centre. And he saved up all of his money to come once a year to Marbella and go to one of these very expensive places.
Beach clubs and things,
and spray champagne everywhere, not drink any of it, and spend like $3,500 in a week.
Gosh.
Now, that to me is hell on toast.
Yeah.
And that's just weird, but people do that.
Plenty
they save
up
everything.
It,
and nowadays, with all these smartphones that we've got, and you know, influencers in the wild, as I call them, my followers are brilliant ones on Instagram.
They're really
hilariously
funny.
They are really funny. Really funny. Some people are just. So do you have to go on holiday with like your little circle lamp thing? And
they must do.
They must do. They have the little tripod, the whole shebang, just to get that perfect shot.
But also, it's actually a money making venture for them.
They've
got so many followers. They have to, and then once they've got the followers, they then have to consistently produce stories and things. So, but that in turn gives them cash back. So, some of them are doing it as a job.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
So one of the things I find weird is when they post these influencers, when they post a set of photos on Instagram about their holiday in Greece or and I'll go, oh, I love Greece, and I'll go to look at the pictures. Couldn't tell it's Greece at all. It's just them in the same outfit, five times, in the same place, in front of a door, doing different poses. And I'm like, I want to see Greece. Or one posted photos at a Kylie Minogue concert recently, and I was like, oh, great, I'm going to see Kylie soon. Let's have a look. No videos of Kylie. Picture, just them posing with their outfit and their drink in a crowd of people.
We're going off on a bit of a tangent with this, but I went to a concert recently, and am I sounding like a grumpy old man now? Because I cannot stand people on air who watch the concert. You're never going to see it live ever again. What's the point in holding your phone up? Most people then look at their phone, because it's habit, isn't it? You look at your phone to make sure that you're recording. Just embrace this live concert that you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, they're just everywhere.
I must admit, I do a little bit.
But not the whole night. I've got the angle right and continue
working. Excuse me. Can you put your hand down, please, mate? I can't see.
Probably never even going to ever watch that video.
No, that's the other thing as well.
If you wanted to watch it, it's like going to a football match and actually videoing some of the football. When you get home, you can put it on the telly and Sky have done the best coverage ever.
That's
I saw a guy last night. I was paddleboarding last night, and there was a guy. I was out for about an hour and a half, and he was on his board for an hour and a half, lying down in different positions with his phone, probably doing the same thing. Saved all his money up to go to viewing Eurola, and completely the whole time. And I was like, I was going up and down, and there's several people started to look and laugh and kind of go,
are you going to actually do anything at all?
Because it must be a headshot with a paddleboard behind, and then in the distance a beach.
Must get that in. Oh, look at that boat.
Well, I remember a few years ago, friends of mine, we went to a beach club, not a really expensive one, and spraying champagne or anything like that, but there was lots of younger people there, and they don't dance. All in their 20s, they're filming themselves allegedly having a good time. And my friends and I, we're all in our like 40s and 50s. There was a great song from the 90s that came on, so we're dancing and having a great time, and they started filming us. Like we were like crazy middle-aged women having a good time,
because that's what having a good time
it was so weird.
They don't understand it.
So weird.
I've never known it so much here. Going to a restaurant and then suddenly you'll be, you know, having a nice meal, and then suddenly you look to your right and there's a couple just videoing themselves having a meal. what is that about?
Yeah.
You know, and then no, turn this way so we can see the sea in the background.
You're having a meal.
But again, it could be for money.
Yes,
they
that's
could
true.
Absolutely
yeah,
be influencers,
true.
And all those things are key.
I can understand
that
the restaurant had employed them to do it, you know, to say, can you come and do this?
Yes, well, they might be getting a free meal or something.
Yeah.
I have to say, we did it last Friday with the San Pedro guide. A restaurant has come on the San Pedro guide, so we went out for dinner. So we had to take photos of everyone's food, because that was a proper thing. Yeah. And we were like, guys, before you eat, do you mind if we just take photos of the food? So we were doing exactly that. Exactly. It can happen. We have less than 2 minutes left. And this is a nice one to end on. Why joy really is the secret to a longer, healthier life, by a leading scientist who spent 35 years researching how to survive and thrive in old age. This, I mean, going back to basics, it's all about kind of finding the joy in things and finding the excitement in life. I saw something the other day about the importance of always being excited about something in the future, whether it's having a cup of tea with a friend, whether it's going to a quiz, whether it's going to the beach, whether it's going on holiday, all these little things. Yeah. It doesn't matter how big or small they are. But always having something to be excited about.
A packed agenda is what you need, isn't it?
With
lots of things.
It could be getting home to read a book. It doesn't have to be big, extravagant. I can't wait to get home. I'm going to lay on the sofa and read my book.
Yeah.
That can be something to be excited about.
Yeah.
And even if you don't live a long life, if you live a joyful life, you've had a good time.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Correct.
I think we can easily spend too much time worrying about the future.
Yeah,
if I had more money, I'd do this. If I had more time, I'd do this.
Live for
as
the
opposed
day.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So important. Lovely message to end on. Thank you guys very
much
for coming in today. Thank you to Simon, Gary and Matt.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
And coming up next is me, actually. It's the if you're not fed up with my voice over the last 2 hours, I'm on for another 2 hours with the book show, and that's going to be the case throughout August, because Howard isn't with us throughout August. So yes, the next 2 hours is the book show with some fascinating guests. Enjoy.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.